This is the Age Real Footy Podcast.
Chris Judd has fronted the media for the first time since announcing that he will leave the West Coast Eagles.
Breaking news on the AFL trade front.
Oh, look, it's clearly one of the biggest signings the club's had.
Bombshell of the morning.
News, Lance Franklin, the deal for him to move to Sydney.
Sam Mitchell is going to go to the Eagles.
With Carlton's Bryce Gibbs almost guaranteed to have played his last game at the Blues.
A 9-year contract, unprecedented in its nature.
The deal last year arguably cost him a flag.
This is the Age Real Footy Podcast Trade Special. My name is Michael Gleeson, and with me is Jake Nile, here to wrap up the interminable trade period. Jake.
Yes, finally ended, and as usual, it doesn't matter how much time you have, things will happen in the last 5 to 10 minutes with deals right on that bit of brinksmanship right on the deadline. And a couple got gun, and what Tim Kelly did not.
Well, that was the big one, wasn't it? For the one left hanging. And they were still trying to do that at 20 past, 25 past
25 past, eight. Yeah. And we know what the offers were. It's interesting. The what would have got it done was a future first round pick by the Eagles to Geelong. And Geelong was only willing to offer a future second with 20 and 22. So it wasn't a terrible offer, but
West Coast was not a terrible offer,
yeah.
What did you think? Do you think that should have been done? Should that have got it done?
Well, it normally does get done. It's just interesting that Geelong took the stance that they did, because really, typically a club would accept that sort of deal. It wasn't ideal. It wasn't absolutely what they wanted, but they couldn't trade down. Therein lay the problem, that 20 and 22, you would normally be able to get down to a pick around about 12 or 13 or 14, and I think that would have actually got it done.
I mean, he's got compelling personal circumstances with his family, and you thought that would have also played into it significantly enough. When you're arguing over, you know, a future first and a future second, and there is a chance next year to be trading again to alter those positions.
We could go through all this again, albeit he's out of contract. So he'll have a bit more leverage, Tim Kelly and his management. And of course, one of the things that irritated Geelong the most was that the Kelly camp wouldn't accept Fremantle as a destination. Fremantle sat there with pick 11. They could well have done that deal, albeit they ended up trading for Rory Lobb using that pick, but they could have done that deal. They didn't want to do it. So it's going to be very interesting to see, and it was well done by Geelong in one sense that they had their coach, Chris Scott, ring Tim Kelly, I think, twice in 24 hours and getting reassurances that he'd be okay to play next year. So I think that leads you to think that they weren't going to trade him, doesn't it?
But isn't that odd? I mean, he'd already established that he didn't want to be there, so I'm not sure what the reassurances are. Oh, I know you don't want to be there, but will you be there?
Well, maybe. But I think it's more, look, you say these things, but are you going to front up next year and be a committed player?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have traded. You would. They said, Geelong said, Stephen Wells said, if they'd thought he wouldn't be able to play properly and well, then they would have traded him.
Yeah, well, the other big moves, I mean, Dane Beams, it was the nothing to see here, nothing to see here sort of story for 6 months, when we all knew that privately where he wanted to get back to, where he wanted to be.
Yeah, and Brisbane weren't very happy about this, and nor should they be. I don't think Dane Beams handled this as well as he could have. He put his management in a difficult position. He put Brisbane, obviously, were getting a different message to the message that he was telling people at Collingwood. And this was going on for a long time. I think that Collingwood have paid a very steep price in this trade, bearing in mind that their first priority was to secure academy players in Isaac Quainer, who's an NGA academy player, and Will Kelly, the son of Craig Kelly, Gleese. So with the points they've picked up with 41 and 44, it'll be close run. They may have to go into deficit.
They've got a few in the 50s as well.
Got a couple in the 50s, but it depends on where the bids come in. And talking to some recruiters last night at the bar, as you do, there's a few that's suggesting that the bids might be a bit higher than the Pies would like, particularly for Quainer.
Well, in the end, you just go into deficit and you deal with it tomorrow, I suppose. And that was the interesting thing, is that they'd had a strategy, and then this opportunity presented to get an elite talent, and then
who doesn't necessarily fit their needs.
No.
So, I mean, if you looked at their needs, Stephen May absolutely fitted their needs. But, of course, they didn't have the currency to get that deal done, because there's no question Stephen May's ended up at Melbourne. Of course, great get for Melbourne in the circumstances. But had Stephen May had his druthers, had his way, he would be a Collingwood player.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on on Beams. I think another interesting point as we look at it now, Gleese, is that is he the first player we've seen who's been traded without ever requesting a trade? Because they kept saying during the trade period, hasn't actually asked for a trade. And he never did ask for a trade when he got traded.
Yeah, but that was a bit fatuous. I know. He'd already said to them, I'm going to be going, and if a trade can happen, you know, any stage in the next two seasons, I'll be going at the end of, 2020, then can do a deal sooner. He then pushed along the urgency of
that. It's a bold trade
by
Colin.
What about May? And, I mean, that was the deal that, particularly Hogan, the Hogan element with Fremantle. Fremantle played a fairly hard hand, and there are some mixed messages, the funny messaging coming out in the way they spoke about it.
Well, Fremantle, what I gather about Fremantle, having spoken to them and spoken to people around that deal, the Hogan-Neil part of that trade, which was, of course, mixed up in the mega trade, which was the eight clubs got involved in, and Tom Petroro from TLA basically put that together at the request of Steve Rossich, the Fremantle chief executive, that Fremantle conducted the actual trading behind the scenes very well. I think it was their public positioning where they got into trouble. So it was the fact that they came out with that statement.
Yeah.
What was it, on a Thursday, was it?
Yeah.
Thursday or Friday.
Oh, but it also started with, you know, Peter Bell saying it'll be a feather in my cap to keep Lachie Neale when they knew he was going.
He regrets that was not.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure comment. He does regret it, but they knew he was going to be going, and then to say on the Friday, we're not pursuing this any further. The asking price is too great. We've done our due diligence, and then within 48 hours, you're meeting the player and you're having further discussions. I think they're buying themselves some time with that.
I think one thing that was evident the moment they said that, if you look at the statement, it was very carefully worded. They said, we've ceased our due diligence. You read that and you looked at that and everyone went, no, they're still going for Hogan. No one believed for a second who was around it. And of course, as you reported, as we reported, they had that meeting almost immediately with Jesse Hogan. And that was with Ross Lyon, Steve Rossich, and also Peter Bell. He came over. It was really to get Hogan to make clear that Hogan was on board.
Interestingly, it had been reported that he'd been asking for $8 million in 8 years, which was wildly wrong. But he's gone for less money, and he's gone for an initial 3 years. Now, it'll be 5 years, but he's gone for 3 years, that according to Peter Bell confirmed in his press conference.
Does that mean
it's significantly less money? Like it's six-figure sum six-figure sum each year for the next 3 years that he's down on what he was earning. So it's over $500,000 over that period, and that's a lot. And there's triggers within that. Then he'll get to 5 years, and it'll be, you know, he'll earn well. But I think he was sort of doing it to say, well, I'm on board, and if you've got worries about and concerns about my feet, about anything else, then, you know, your exposure is limited.
Yeah. Just looking at these, at the name players that are traded, who do you think is the most significant player? If you look at Beams and you look at Scheel, that was another Vex deal, two firsts. It's interesting the clubs that took a hard line got those deals.
Well, I think that with that one, the hard line was able to be pushed by the fact that they had opened enough cap space, GWS, by the trades they'd done for Lobb, Scully, and Setterfield. That had cleared out $1.8 million at least. So had it fallen through, they could have afforded to keep Scheel in the end. They would have just shuffled a few other contracts. They could have kept him and been under the salary cap. And at the start of the period, they couldn't have done that. But the Scully one in particular, and Lobb was about 800. That's a lot going out. So that meant that they had a firmer hand in that.
That put them in a good position with Essendon, because they could take him back.
Yeah.
When the initial position was, they were bugging him out really to get under the salary cap.
Yeah. To answer the question,
yeah.
I reckon impact on team, as opposed to player talent, Stephen May going to Melbourne is as big as any. And oddly, he went there for less compensation to Gold Coast than Melbourne got for Hogan going to Fremantle.
Yeah, I think over the long run, assuming his body holds up and his head holds up, Jesse Hogan's the player who can have the biggest impact at a club.
Yeah,
over a long term, but in the short term, it's either it would be out of May, Scheel, and Beams, albeit I think Beams would have a little bit less than Scheel.
Yeah, we'll take a break there and come back and we'll assess the clubs.
We're online all the time. Just search Age Real Footy on Facebook or Twitter.
Welcome back, Jake. If we look through all of the clubs, rather than try and say who won and who lost,
we won't know.
Silly, no. Who took a punt? Who took a risk?
Yeah, look, there's my count is there are 10 clubs that took a punt and took some genuine risks in their trades, and there are 8 clubs that did not. I'm going to name the 8 that didn't take risks first. Is that?
Yeah.
So they're Adelaide did not really risk anything.
No, Mitch McGovern went out. They satisfied that.
That's right. Whereas they did a big risk with Bryce Gibbs last year. Geelong, they didn't take a risk. They got in Luke Dalhouse as a free agent.
They sat on Kelly.
Got Gary Rowan in. I think that's a moderate trade. Gold Coast did not really take a risk. They were getting draft picks in, getting players out, modest players in from...
Well, they took a risk in as much as they agreed on the Stephen May thing. That's a risk. It's a co-captain.
Yeah, but he wanted to leave.
Yeah, but it's still... They could have held him to it.
Okay, well, that maybe...
A moderate risk.
Moderate risk. GWS, no. They didn't take a risk. They were trying to...
Well, the risk would have been if they hung on to everyone. And
they're trying to keep players in 12 months' time. That's really important with Josh Kelly and...
Well, they're in a position to keep him potentially now.
Potentially, yeah. That money for Scheel. Richmond didn't really take a risk. They had Tom Lynch in as a free agent. So they were risk averse. There's no risk with Tom Lynch, except I suppose you could argue that his knee is a risk, given the contract that they gave him, which is, for the listeners, first 3 years, $500,000. And then $5 million, roughly, over the next 4 years. It's heavily backloaded. It is $1.5 million about in the 7th season.
I did an interview with Julian Feller late in the season and asked him about it. And he did the operation on Tom Lynch's knee. And, of course, no surgeon has ever stuffed up an operation or said it had been done poorly. But he said, no,
it'd be fine.
It'll be fine. His knee's really good.
Sydney... did not take a risk. They traded in Ryan Clark and Jackson Thurlow. They are...
Oh, and getting rid of Hanbury for the money was...
Oh, I think it was very well done by the Swans.
And Gary Rowan out as well. So they didn't take a risk. So of those that did, you know, what
Bulldogs,
did you think?
The Bulldogs didn't take
Bulldogs
a risk.
The Bulldogs, no.
They got in Sam Lloyd.
Dalhouse
Jordan Roughhead.
Marcus Adams,
Adams went out. No, they were...
And the Eagles sat on, they did Hickey in... That was basically it. Lysett going out. They just did one swap and they couldn't get Kelly.
Yeah. If they'd gotten Kelly, well, that wouldn't have been. I guess that wouldn't have been.
Well, they'd already done Gaff. That was
so let's go through the risky clubs just quickly. So the clubs that were a bit bold and, Brisbane took a risk, clearly. Yeah. They've done Lockie Neal in and they've paid for a future first round pick was the part that raised my eyebrows, that deal they did with Gold Coast, which helped facilitate the mega trade. They gave up their future first. So that was locking Collingwood out, which I guess helped them get a first round back for Beams. But it was an interesting way of doing it.
It did. And that future first, yeah, they'll be better with Lockie Neal coming in. But then they also lose Dane Beams.
That's right.
So as far as their growth on the field and what their ladder position will be, it's more organic from the players that they've already got improving.
Yeah, Carlton, I think there's a bit of risk here because they've given up a fair bit for Mitch McGovern. I wouldn't say they're high on the risk profile. They're on the low end of the risk profile because Mitch McGovern, they gave up rights to a player in Shane McAdam that they never had to the Adelaide Crows. They brought in Setterfield relatively cheaply.
He'll be a good pickup for them. Setterfield, yeah.
If he plays, he's got to play.
Well, of course. It's the same of anyone.
No, but he hasn't played yet. I think what was good about the Carlton dealings for their fans out there, of which we hear from many, is that they protected their first pick and they protected next year's first pick. There was a talk yesterday about them doing a deal for Dylan Scheel. I don't think it was ever going to happen. I thought that was...
Talking to GWS late in the day, that was never after, a chance. Afterwards as well, they just said, nah.
Collingwood Football Club, well, I think they took a massive gamble with Dane Beams because, as we said before, there's a question on how it will affect their academy bids. They think they can cover it with that's Quaynor and Kelly, the father, son, and academy player. But they traded in 41-44. Yeah, it'll be line ball, Gleece. They may have to go into deficit, and that may basically take them out of the 2019 draft where they've traded their first pick. So they've given up a lot for Dane Beams, who doesn't fit their need, but it's interesting debate. He's an A-grade player. He's a fantastic player. No one doubts that. What do you think? I mean, my view is it's a pretty bold move.
Yeah, I think that when opportunities come up to get elite talent, You have to be open to it. And he's an elite talent, and you find a way. He'll make them better. At the trade price, yeah, because I think it's manageable. I think that they'll still get the players they want. They've got the picks there, and if they go into deficit, deal next year.
What about next year if a gun key forward, which is a big need for them, or key defender, particularly key forward, is available through a trade and they don't have a first round pick?
Well, they don't yet. You can always trade. Well, you always got
it's
players.
Not easy to get a first round
you always
pick.
Got players. Players will move. I actually like the roughhead pickup as much as anything, strangely enough. I think for need, that was a canny move.
I thought that was
unlucky, roughhead. He had $1 million offer on the table from West Coast. And they were tossing up between him and Hickey. $1 million over 3 years, and they went Hickey. They could only go the one, and he's on significantly less than that now at Collingwood.
The Bombers, yeah. I mean, the two, like Collingwood, two first rounders for Shield. They didn't want to do it. You saw the look on Adrian Dodoro's face. He looked like someone who'd been, mugged or something. The Giants' hard line paid off. In fact, the intransigence of a couple of clubs paid off. Look, he will definitely improve them. So I think they paid a high price, but it does fit their need.
But they've been bowled in two consecutive trade periods.
Didn't work last year in terms of their position. Not immediately. Yeah.
But I think it will.
Devin Smith won their BNF.
That's right. And Saad was really good. Stringer. Shield will make them significantly better, I think. Shield is the player most fitted the need over the last 2 years, more so than anything they picked up last year. He's the type of player that they needed. Fremantle we've touched on, but
yep.
I think that they certainly took a risk.
Hawthorn took a major gamble, and what an audacious club they are to throw up Ryan Burton to get Chad Wingard with pick 15. So many clubs just would not have the gonads, as I put it, to do that sort of trade, to throw up one of their better young players who's 21 to get a star, a prospective star. And look, it could well pay off, but it might not. And the Scully deal, whereas the Scully deal, I saw a lot of upside in that deal, because if he doesn't come up with the knee, he'll be retired and they won't have to pay him all the money. And they've given up nothing in the draft. So I saw the Scully thing as a very good
calculator. Because it's a trade rather than a
free agent.
You've got to keep the money in the cap as a free agent.
Yeah. As a free agent. So they can write the money off. I think the Scully deal was very astute, and it was well done by Hawthorn to lock him down that other clubs didn't get a chance to get a look at him.
It is a big price because 15 is a good pick this year, and Burton as well.
I was amazed.
Burton, I really rate
as a player. Port Adelaide was saying we want more. They did get slightly more, but I felt that was a Mays, of course, ended up somehow mixed up in this deal. From the Brisbane Lions. But I felt it was a very fair price from the get-go, and good on Hawthorn for not mucking around. That's Graham Wright. He doesn't mess around with deals. Bang, here's a good offer. Take it.
There is a risk on Scully. And so when you're talking, if we're talking bold, who's bold and who's risky.
Hawthorn were very bold.
Because that's, as we know, they looked at him first and thought, if he's available, yeah, our first pick. And then they looked at the medical profile and said, ooh, hang on. That ankle is really
I think
not
a first
good.
Round pick was going to come, and then it got taken off the table. Melbourne, I think, they clearly, to give up a key forward who's 23 is a very audacious move. So then to get in a key defender, they're a club that I think the view was, I think what happened late in the season in the finals would have coloured their thinking about Hogan, that they can get by without him, and with some of those mid-size forwards. That were pretty effective, as well as Wiedemann coming into the side and Tom McDonald as a star.
The one with them that I get why Melbourne picked up Braden Pruce as a backup ruckman. I don't get why Braden Pruce picked up Melbourne.
Why go to
a club that's got the all-Australian ruckman in it?
I gather that it came from conversations with Max Gawn, and Max Gawn has sold him a very good story and about working with him. And it's a tribute to the charisma of Max Gawn that he's managed to persuade him. Maybe he doesn't want to be the main man. Not everyone. He wants rather be Bert Newton than Graham Kennedy or
showing your age, mate.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. I'm trying to give a more contemporary comparison. But
Dom Tyson's an interesting one there, because he now finds himself at a third club, and he's a good player.
They jumped to North Melbourne.
Well, he's left Melbourne, so I'm moving from Melbourne. So it wasn't a risk for them to move Tyson. It was actually helpful with their salary cap. And he was being squeezed out of the midfield there. So,
well, North Melbourne looked to me to have taken moderate risks, I would have said. Not a huge risk, because none of the players are are huge ticket items, although they paid a fair bit for Pollock in terms of both the draft, but they were going to lose that pick for probably for Taron Thomas anyway. So I think that did colour their thinking.
What about the Saints?
Oh, that's I thought they took a in player payment terms a massive risk on Hanbury, whose body has to hold up. I think he'll probably go well early, but he got a long-term deal, which you covered in depth, Gleese, 4 years with a trigger. I think that was it's in the realms of what $750,800.
Yeah.
That's a huge punt. But having said that, they didn't give up much in the draft.
But they were also limited in how bold they could be, St Kilda, by the fact that at the moment they're not a destination club. They're not a club that the players right. wanting to go to. So they need to rebuild that in the next year before they're going to be even bolder in the draft and trade period. That's all we've got time for, Jake. But yet another trade period's down. We know who was risky. We know who was bold. We don't care for winners and losers other than on the field. We won't know
The two teams, just remember to everyone out there, the two teams that made the grand final did very little in the trades.
Didn't win the trades, but won through.
They won games, not trades.
Thanks very much for joining us. We'll catch you with a draft special in the lead up to the national draft.